Extrapolation and interpolation with self-learning approximants. My name and the titillation. So it's all the most powerful tool for solving quite tough problems in physics and applied math is perturbation theory. When you don't know what to do, apply some perturbation theory in some parameter. And what is the problem that we are trying to solve? It's quite simple. Many people probably would be interested in reconstructing a real function of a real variable from x to infinity. But how to do this? Again, develop perturbation theory. Perturbation theory usually means some iterative procedure which allows to recover some asymptotics of the function, usually in the form of power laws. For small x, we can develop a series of approximation, which actually a polynomial approximation for small x. Or for large x, we can find out first term of asymptotic behavior. Or we also can derive the whole series in some other power of x. So everything seems to be fine. But here come the bad news. Good news, we're here. We can derive perturbation theory if we want to reconstruct the function. And here starts the bad news. Such perturbation theory, when we can construct them, behave very badly. And in majority of interesting cases, they're simply divergent. In best case, they're very slowly convergent. In worst case, they're just simply divergent. So it seems that our work on derivation of perturbation theories may be in vain. Just imagine someone spending a year or more finding one more next term, let's say fifth or sixth order term in perturbation theory, only to find out finally that this perturbation theory is useless for him. So these people understood that this dilemma exists even quite early in 19th century. Abel was one of the people who worked in this field. Actually, many important names can be mentioned, but I will not try to mention all of them. One of them was Abel. And he said, he observed that people were at the time more religious probably than they are now, but he blamed Abel for the divergence. But currently people realize that this is not the case, this is not the devil who is in charge here. Assuming that divergence theories are the devil's invention, one should admit that the creator has also taken part. Description of physical reality leads to divergence theories expansion with striking regularity. So maybe it is more of a rule or a law when we are confronted with divergence theories than otherwise. So it's not the devil. So we just need to understand better the nature of this divergent series and find the ways to operate. And people started thinking about how to make divergence, how to extract information from divergent series also quite early, 19th century, I believe. And one of the most important scientists who worked in the field was Padet. So Padet suggested his own way to convert divergent theories to convergent expressions by means of so-called Padet summation. And so he basically suggested to use continued fraction. And when we can truncate the fraction at successive order, we can demonstrate that they have the form of rational functions. And those rational functions are called Padet approximants. And they contain any desired number of parameters. And then we can match those parameters with the initial divergent theory. We basically would demand that this rational function has the same asymptotic behaviors as the series for small x or for large x, and derive all unknown coefficients in this rational function from such asymptotic principle. And usually such thing works, such method works, but it as a rule, it has certain drawbacks. We need too many terms to make, but the approximant to work really with good accuracy. We need tens of terms. Quite usually, they make divergent theories to converge, but quite slowly. And this is a luxury, of course, to have tens terms. Usually, what I have confronted in my work, it's like at most 5 or 6 terms. And to derive 5 or 6 terms is a huge achievement. People work for years to derive, let's say, 6 term in expansion in some variable. So, but the approximants may work occasionally for realistic problems. So what do we really need is some other technique. Let me also mention that Padé approximant can be applied for both for extrapolation and interpolation problems. In the case of extrapolation, they just called Padé approximants. When we're dealing with interpolation problem, trying to match, let's say, two different expansions, they're called generalized Padé approximants. And usually, we try to match only two expansions. They're called two-point Padé approximants. There is no such a big difference between Padé and generalized Padé approximant. They're both rational functions. But this technique is quite unique because it allows to solve both interpolation and extrapolation problems. Most of other techniques, they divide either for extrapolation or for interpolation in one-dimensional case. But you can also try to use such similar techniques for multi-dimensional cases. But this is a different story. One-dimensional problem by itself, it's quite a difficult task. And in many cases, we don't need to go to multidimensional constructions because, at least in physics, quite often we're happy when we construct expansion in a single variable, let's say. And also, let me mention, possible application is time series. In time series, we also have only one dimension and one time, and we have only one variable that we are concerned with. So we can forget about the rest of variables. If we can learn how to solve extrapolation and interpolation in one-dimensional case, we can significantly progress in many fields. So if you want to study Padé methodology in detail, I would recommend those two books. In one book, it's totally dedicated to the problem. It's a huge book, number one, and second book has very nice introduction, which I personally prefer, by Bender and Orzac. Quite clear and beautiful, I would say. So here comes the speaker, finally. With my colleagues, we derived some novel types of approximants, which can basically solve interpolation and extrapolation problems when we are confronted the problem, the same type as Padé approximants actually can do. And we call them self-similar root and self-similar factor approximants. And it's already demonstrated, I believe so, in our papers quite convincingly, that they're simpler and more accurate than Padé approximants. So now to the business. How do they look like? I will just show you briefly. The rest is in the papers. There are two basic different types of approximants which we suggest for interpolation and extrapolation. First is factor approximant. It consists of factors in such form. And this A and S, they're parameters which should be determined basically from the same type of conditioning that was applied for Padé. If we're dealing with extrapolation, we can just require asymptotic correspondence of this approximant with power series. And another type of approximant is root. You see, I believe it's quite self-explanatory why we call them root. Again, it contains some parameter which need to be determined from correspondence of this approximants with power series. And you know, we all are going to die someday. And I would like to put this on my grave, if you wish. Those two formulas probably will. I will be happy if they're over there. So you can read in more detail about this approximant in those papers of myself and Yukalov, Sarnet, Yukalova, and some other people. So I'm not going to discuss everything that was already done in the field. I will try to make a connection with what is interesting for applications. So what, assume that you're a scientist and you go from somewhere, you go some power series, and you found out that they're divergent, right? Useless, basically. So how to do, you know, to waste years of your life, how to remedy, how to help the situation. And even, assume even worse case, that you got only two or three terms, what can you do with useless two or three terms in expansion? Mostly nothing, right? You will leave it in such a form, publish a paper and say that I cannot help this situation, I just managed to derive. Give me my PhD or what, something. Enough, it's enough for PhD, definitely. But how really to proceed further, right? One way, let's try to derive more coefficients. Okay. Again, when you derive two or three, and it took a year or two it will definitely take 10 years or 3 years or something like that to derive the next term. So it's quite difficult. You will stop again. Actually, this is what happens in many cases. People just derive five or six terms, and they stop, and they cannot proceed further. So what if someone would learn how to derive these terms, new terms in expansions automatically, more or less systematical way? So to this end, here is my talk. I will suggest just put forward some idea how to proceed in iterative fashion. So I suggest here an iterative approach to derivation of coefficients in expansion. Let's say that we manage from God-given source, we got, let's say, n terms in expansion. And we constructed from these n terms in expansion, we constructed an approximant of nth order. There is direct correspondence between n terms in expansion and nth order approximant. Let's now try to extract some information from the approximant by itself, because this is analytical construction, and usually it has any desired number of derivatives. So let's expand this approximant and try to get n plus 1 term from perturbation theory, for the perturbation theory. For this, we don't need any input. We only need n terms from expansion to derive n plus 1 term through the nth order approximant. So when we got this n plus order term, we can also immediately construct n plus one order approximant. And then we can derive n plus two order terms in perturbation theory. And in principle, we can go indefinitely. Assume, again, that we have only two, three non-trivial terms in expansion as an input. And I will describe then some iterative procedure for derivation higher order terms in expansion. And what if we really derive such terms? How we are going to judge where they have been successful in derivation or not, if we don't have any other information about the system? We can only analyze in this case convergence of the series, of emergence series of approximant. And if they're convergent, we will claim that our derivation of coefficients was successful. If we're getting totally divergent series, we will probably say that this procedure is not useful in this case. We need to invent some other procedure. And this will be a case of unsupervised learning, because we have fixed input, and only from this fixed input we will try to learn how to create convergent sequences in arbitrary order. If we have some information, experimental information about the system, in the form of pairs, X and Y, as usual, we would be probably more successful in such endeavor because we can derive the supervised technique as usual. But here we will be mostly concerned with unsupervised. The most difficult case, how to increase accuracy without actually increasing input, informational input to the system. So let me give you an example. Assume that we have two terms in perturbation theory. That's just quadratic polynom, someone will give you. From this quadratic polynom, you can construct our root or factor approximant. They look the same. This is how they will look in the most simple case. We derived this form. We would not try to involve you deeper in such derivations. But you can also probably imagine such form, right, in a dream or whatever. And there are two unknown coefficients here. This was unknown coefficients parameter large A, and here was parameter S. But when we expand in powers of X, we can then compare term by term this expansion with original expansion of power series and define all coefficients. So here the expression for amplitude here and here is the expression for power. Everything is defined here. Now to get the next order term in perturbation theory, let's just expand F2 up to third order inclusively. And collect this third order term in perturbative expansion. It's a number, actually, because everything is defined here. So now we can proceed further. With this coefficient, we can build next order term. Actually, there is some technical problem involved here. How to go from odd number of terms in perturbation, from even number of terms to odd number of terms in perturbation theory. Actually, you can use the same approximant. You just drop at first this constant term and proceed the same way on the rest, and you can have the same procedure applied to odd numbers, number of terms. Again, with odd number of terms and with one learned coefficient, we can define higher order approximant. Again, everything is defined here. Let's try to derive one more term in perturbation theory. Let us expand this approximant up to fourth order now, inclusively, and pick the fourth order coefficient. And you can proceed with this procedure indefinitely, basically. So procedure is always defined. You always can proceed to arbitrary order. But the problem now is to determine are you successful or not with such approximate way of determining coefficient or determine approximants without actually increasing input. So what did we do? We still stayed with the same input. We have quadratic expansion, let's say. And we approximated both, first we approximated second order and derived coefficient. Then we approximated third order with this derived coefficient. Then we expanded again and derived fourth order and so on ad infinitum. So let me show you some examples that this procedure can be convergent, even without invoking any further more detailed information about the system. Let us pick some examples. This function which I like, it comes from physical application. Actually, it comes from quantum mechanics, so-called problem of the particle in the box. If you take here limit of infinity, you will have the energy of the particle in the box. Some people invented this. It's just a toy example. But let us look at this as a function that we would like to reconstruct. So let's be happy that we can, let's assume that we have only two terms in expansion, right? You can always expand this function. Let's forget about high order terms. Let's assume that we only know these two terms. And now try to implement this procedure that I have just described in high orders, right? We also know that at infinity, this function has another expansion. It has constant, it behaves like a constant is infinity, and next order term is an inverse power of 2. And you can also derive high order terms, but let us be content that we know, let us agree that we know only this and this and this. Right? And this will be the whole input that we need to reconstruct, that we use to reconstruct the whole function. actually four parameters, and we need to reconstruct the whole function. Well, we know the whole function is infinite number of parameters. So from four parameters to infinity. Let's start with interpolation. So what I will here use the term interpolation just as an equivalent of reconstruction of the function from the two expansions, from small x and large x. And we first apply this for this model. Let us derive two more coefficients without invoking any new input. Two coefficients in the way that we just I tried in length to explain how to do this, right? Let us use root approximate for this problem. I don't want to go into too much detail. Root approximants are easy to construct in this case. How, let's say, they will look like, at least let me show you some approximate. In sixth order, it will look like that, and all parameters here will be defined from only the input of small and large x, limited input. But everything here is quite simple expressions. So you can do this in second, fourth, sixth, and tenth order. We had only two terms in small x, and we had two more parameters from large x expansion, and we now can go to tenth order. And so we extended information, let's say. We learned to get information from nothing, in a sense. And to go from four terms to tenth order. Actually, from logic would tell you, common sense will tell you that from four terms you can go only to the fourth order. But we can go actually to the tenth order here. So what happens? This is also self-explanatory. Here, the top line is true function. If we have only, without learning, we could build only this function, which is on the bottom function. And if we apply this iterative learning, we actually can move much, much closer to the true function, right? It's self-explanatory. In this region, we almost reproduce the function. And here we move much closer to the function. And this is only if we learn more terms, I believe we can do better. And this procedure, when I look at the numbers, I found that this procedure is convergent. The distance between approximations is shrinking. So in this case, we can not only derive those approximations, but we also can control ourselves by convergence. It's not only the way to derive expressions, but to derive convergent expressions. If we can compare now this number to this number, I would like you to look at this. This is proximity to the true function that we can achieve without learning. And this is proximity that we can achieve with these two additional terms. Here, we moved much closer, right? I don't want to put this in percentage errors. It's just I think it's evident that we moved here much closer. In this case, we also managed to move much closer. Indeed, let me come back here. There is definite win from self-learning procedure in unsupervised way fashion here, without actual increase of information and without actual means to control the quality. Right? Maybe this is one example that I picked just to convince you, right? To cheat, maybe. I don't know. I don't know tens of examples yet, but I have two more examples of this case. So let me show you one. This is actual physical problem, so-called one-dimensional Bézier guess. People are really interested in one-dimensional or two-dimensional or quasi-one-dimensional systems because they really can create one-dimensional in traps. They really can create them and study. So this is a case of when we really need to find an energy, ground state energy of the system. So I won't bore you anymore with concrete values of the parameters. The same station we can derive here expansion for small g, and we know here one more term. Assume that we know also third term. And here we can also derive value at infinity. Right now, let's derive one more coefficient in the way which I described before. So what is this figure? This red line is supposed to be exact solution. Those two lines close to it should be approximate. And those are perturbation theory, right? As I claimed in the beginning, perturbation theory are notoriously bad behaved. This is here an example of perturbation theory. This is second order, this is third order. If you won't apply any summation technique like that, you will have to be contented with such quality, right? Oops. Which is quite bad, right? If you apply approximants, you can move much closer. So let me now blow up a bit the figure. Here now we can see true function. We can see what we can do without learning. And this is what we can do without learning. Actually, again, we moved much closer to the function. Only, again, without any new input. And I have one more example, which both of the same. So I won't show you. Let me go to another problem, which we can solve with this method. So let me go to extrapolation. And while saying extrapolation, I will understand only particular problem in extrapolation. I would like to calculate the value of the function at infinity only from the knowledge of expansion at small x. It is a long-standing problem in mathematical physics that I can tell you. It's important, really, to be able to do this. I should, again, take the same model. And now assume that we only know small x expansion, and now we would like to reconstruct the value of the constant at infinity. Since we know it somewhere deeply, what is the value, we then can compare our reconstructed value with the true value. In this case, I found, let's go directly to the business. Let's apply this approximant to this goal, and let's calculate value of this approximant at infinity. But again, everything can be done analytically in this case. Just a formula. And when I do this, I will get accuracy of 4%. Again, I will postpone discussion is it good or bad till the next example. The same model with different approach with factor approximant. And now let's assume that we have as much terms as we desire from exactly, right? Let's remember, truly we know the function, so we can derive expansion up to 10th order, right? And try to see, can we extrapolate with this exact 10 terms, let's say. So when I apply this, what I found is it doesn't work so good, even if it's exact. It works reasonably well, let's say. If you apply four terms from expansion, this is true function, right? Now you can compare. With four other terms, we're here. With six other terms, we're here. Six terms, we're here. With eight terms, we're here. With 10 terms, we're here. So actually, we're converging non-monotonously, but it's already 10 terms, right? Not getting too close, right? This is an accuracy which we will get from exact values in expansion. Remember, it was 4. I claimed that I can do it with accuracy 4%. Here, we see that with learning here, with this approximant, which uses only three terms, we can do better than without learning with 10 terms in expansion. But here is a hint here. There is still convergence here, even without approaching true value at infinity too closely, we still observe here some convergence. So how to extrapolate in this case? Intuitively, it is clear that we can use information that from those two and try to guess this true value, just because it's somewhere in between, right? Just divide it by 2, right? It's called Cesar averaging. Takes us just plain arithmetic averaging. It will be better. So, also this approach is not useless as well with factor approximate. It is non-monotonously convergent, and there is a trick that also we discovered how to construct averages and to improve convergence. Actually, in this case, with so-called averaging technique, we can reproduce exact value quite closely. This here, this is a technique for averaging from this paper. Right? It's also original way. So when we have non-monotonous convergence, we can, in this case, I took two nearest neighbors, this and this, right? And they gave me 0.3% accuracy. But if you don't want to think what is nearest here, just plainly take average over all the terms, it still will be good. But nearest neighbors can do a little bit. So those are percentages. So let's now. So do I have still? Do I have some time still? So we can. Let us consider one more model, which is even more interesting than, to me at least. It's more realistic. It's a famous touchstone in quantum mechanics, so-called quartic unharmonic oscillator. This is the potential, right? In classic mechanics, you need to solve Newton with this potential. In quantum mechanics, you need to solve Schrödinger. And when you solve it, you can derive ground state energy as a function of parameter, interaction strength, let's say. So now I think you're familiar with this approach, right? You have here few terms in expansion, and we can also derive few terms in large for large G. And now let's assume that we know only this and this, and try to learn two more coefficients in the way which I described before. Now try to solve it first extrapolation to reconstruct this value at infinity. This function behaves as a power true function behaves. Initial function behaves as it's a power law. So just to have the problem of reconstruction constant, let's convert it. Let's study a different function. This function really behaves as a constant at infinity. Apply not factor but root approximant. This is with learned coefficients, right? With learned coefficients, it turns very good, this problem. We can reconstruct value at infinity with accuracy of 0.25%. And actually, this was analytical. Because all coefficients were derived analytically. Again, just here I can mention that when I try to do this with exact values of coefficients, as I know also them as well, the accuracy is like 15%. It's like 0.75, while the true value is 0.67. So, and here we almost got an accurate result, right? With learned values. So this is quite striking for me that with learning, with learned values, you can do in many cases better than with true values. Now let me go a bit faster. The same technique now that I applied before to this model one. In interpolation case, let me now apply it to interpolation case with model 2. Again, I derive the very same approximants under the same conditions, up to 10th order, right? But only, remember, from 4 initial parameters, but 10th order. It turned out differently. There is no convergence here, if you look at it. No clear-cut convergence. This is 4th, this is 6th, this is 8th, this is 7th, then this is divergent. But this also can happen that learning is not very effective, right? So what to do in this case when we discover it? The system tells us that learning is not very effective. How to help the situation? Let's look in this case only at few starting terms, right? They seem at first there was some trace of convergence at the beginning, and then it started to diverge. So let's look only at two starting terms, 4 and 6, 6 and 4, 6, 4 and 6, right? So here the 4 and 6. And here is also average that we can construct, weighted average. But when I looked at the numbers, actual numbers, of this case we can also find some, in literature, some exact values for the ground state energy for comparison. It turned out surprisingly well that the maximum error was at value, it was about 0.3%, right? And in reality, people are interested in this value for G equals to 1, right? And here I know what should be exactly like that. And accuracy of reconstruction with averages is quite stunning. So we really don't need in this case to go to higher orders. So in this case, our technique just told you, don't go, don't meet, don't learn even. It's everything is already in starting terms. And again, just to convince you that it makes sense to work with approximants at all, let us look again what perturbation theory will give in this case. They're really bad, right? So there's real need to go to approximants, and there's real need to improve quality of approximants, and it really can really pay off, can truly pays off, because from meaningless divergent theories, we can make really very nice quality of approximations, right? So let me conclude. So when to apply this method? As any method, as you can imagine, any method is better to apply in the situation where it works, right, than where it is not supposed to work. Sometimes there is a surprise it works beyond the region where it was supposed to work. Actually, it happens quite often. But I recommend to apply it truly for the problems with power law asymptotic behaviors. Then it really can be precise. And if you have the problem of non-trivial behavior at infinity, which physicists are known, there is non-trivial behavior at infinity, right? You better go with root approximate. So those are quite guaranteed ways, quite rigid recommendations here. Another limitation when to apply this method, don't try it with really irregular behavior of coefficients in expansion. You really cannot learn if sign of coefficients changes. You can even say it's random, right? Or there is some very complex law in which the signs of coefficients in expansion are changing. You really maybe not be able to learn such a complexity, right? But when there is same sign coefficients, and signs of coefficients are simply alternating, you can really try to learn and to get quite good quality already from 2-3 terms. But you may be not so successful if coefficients behave not that simple. But you may be successful as well, right? But it's more tricky. In this case, you better go with exact expansions. Well, now I believe that I convince you that to some extent those approximants are indeed have the property to self-learn, because what they really demonstrated is the ability to improve quality without actual increase of input. So they indeed, in some cases, are able to self-learn. And another surprise, that in those cases, I got better accuracy with learned coefficients than I would get with exact coefficients. When someone would try to attack the problem directly. And then here a bit of a comment. It seems that ability to self-learn is related to the structure of expansions. And when approximants are more affine, more agreeable with the true structure of expansions, you really may convert divergent perturbation theories to monotonous convergence. To monotonously convergent approximants. But what to do if it still works, but in a different sense, when we have non-monotonous convergence sequences of approximants. So in this case, there is another trick which I mentioned, averaging. And this averaging will help you to work in the case of non-monotonous convergence. Just apply an average, you still may have very good approximation with learned coefficients. And what to do the third case when you're constructed with still divergent series of approximants now. They're less divergent than initial series, but still there is a divergence. Take just two terms, or one term, or two, not more, from the sequence of approximants. Again, take average, and you again will do very well. So there are two another comments that I would like to make. There are two another ways to, for, two another approaches to learning, let's say. Again, we don't have any additional information of the system, on the system. Now we want, we're humble. We just want to determine which approximant is better, root or factor. They have different properties, and we don't know a priori which one to apply, but we still want to select the best. So let us then pick the one which better agrees with expansion. Maybe it's too much already, right? Maybe I will stop here. Just mentioning this will not help, probably. You can ask me later if you're interested in other methods of self-learning. Ask me better in couloirs. Okay, finished.